It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? It's a great day to study the Word of God. Glad that you've joined us today. We're in John chapter 21, and we've studied down through the third verse last time we were together. But we're going to begin reading with verse 1 through the 14th verse once again, as we did last time we were together. And so if you'd look that up, John chapter 21, and while you're looking that chapter and verse up, I would like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. We have a website. If you'd like to visit it, it would be found at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. I hope that that was enough time now for you to find John chapter 21. And we're going to begin reading with verse 1. John chapter 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish thereupon, and bread. And Jesus said unto them, Bring the fish which ye have now caught. And Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of great fishes, 153. For all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples doth ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh the bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. Let's begin with prayer after the reading of his word. Father, I thank and praise you. We can come together. I ask that you use this opportunity to grow each one of us in your way and will. And as we open your word, it's wonderful that we can know that the Holy Spirit, by and through your word, will speak to our hearts, guide and lead us, give us direction, wisdom, give us the wisdom and knowledge, the direction of how to be saved. You will direct us to the cross of Calvary. You will show us that we're a sinner, that we're lost, that we need the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and you will tell us how and show us how to be saved. That's what your word does. It is wonderful. If Father, anyone that's listening today desires to be saved, truly be saved, all they need is to look to you, to call upon you, and you will lead them by the sweet Spirit, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will direct them right to your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father, that we can have such an easy and simple way of salvation. It is by grace alone and not by works. Thank you, Father, that there is nothing that we have to do other than to turn to you, to accept you. There is nothing we have to do, and there's not a certain amount of money that we have to pay to receive the salvation that you've given us, life that you give us. Father, please, guide and lead us as we enjoy these verses of Scripture today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we looked at verse 1 there very quickly in review. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples. I love to read because I want you to not miss that beautiful Scripture verse that's right above that, the one that is in chapter 20, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. That's how simple it is to be saved. Now that we have read that, and we had that last time we were together, I wanted to read it again today. We have the information that we have went through. We find that we're at the Sea of Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee, which is the same. We know that they were sent to the sea, to the town of Galilee. They were to go to Galilee. The Scripture tells us, as we enjoyed that last time we were together, we looked to the Mark chapter 16, verse 7, as we read that verse of Scripture. We know that they are together, seven of them, Peter, Thomas, called Didymus, Nathanael, sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. We believe that the other disciples are probably Philip and Andrew. So we think that there is Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, John, Philip, and Andrew. We believe that that's the group that's together. They were obedient to go where the Lord had told them to be. And he said, I will meet you there. Let me just read Mark 16:7 quickly. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you unto Galilee, there shall ye see him as he said unto you. Now, we have him in the proper place. We have looked at the group that's there. We have even discussed the activity that they're going to be involved in, and that is, I go a-fishing, Peter said, and we also go with thee, the remainder said to him. And so we find them going fishing. We talked a little bit last time we were together about the type of people that these fishermen, as the reason that God called so many fishermen. They're a common type of people, and yet they are very courageous, very strong, very brave. They're hard workers. They're dedicated to the work that they've set before them. They are not easily distracted, and they are set upon one thing, and that is to catch fish. Now, if we would look the same way at catching the lost and taking the gospel of the Lord Jesus to them, what a wonderful day that would be as we look to that and see that together. Please look to the Lord Jesus Christ today and see that he can be your Savior if you'll just come by faith to him. See that he will guide and lead you if you have come by faith to Jesus and you are a Christian, a believer. So please walk with him today. The activity that we left off with last time we were together was this activity of fishing. I asked a question, were they to go fishing or not to go fishing? Was they mistaken? Should they have waited right where they were at and not went ahead? Or should they have went ahead and went fishing? We find one thing here in the discussion, that the verses that we have read, there's nothing in that says that the Lord Jesus rebuked them for going. And so keep that in mind as we look at this choice they made in verse 3. In verse 3 again, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a-fishing. And they said unto him, we also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately, that night they caught nothing. Well, if we would look at their results, then the first thought that you and I probably would gather is that they should not have went fishing. We know, according to Luke 5:10, the last half of that verse, that from henceforth thou shalt catch men, the Scripture tells us. And so here we have the work that they have decided to do, which was to go fishing. Last time we were together, we spent a few minutes talking about the importance of being at work, how Jesus does call those that are at work, busy. He does not like a lazy person. He does not use a lazy person. And so if you're a little on the lazy side, why, you can expect until you wake up and get to work that God probably won't use you very much. And so, and I hope that that's not the case. I hope that your heart is ready to be a servant to the Lord. I hope you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope you've asked Him into your heart. I hope that you are ready to get to work, and you're not going to be one that sits back, just be a pew warmer. We need workers. We need harvesters to go out and harvest these souls that are ripe unto harvest. So please look to what God has called you to do. If you don't know what direction, just get to work, and you'll find that He will find you out. Now, we have these men. They were seemed to be idle. Were they just having a fellowship as they were awaiting the arrival of the Lord? Had they kind of lost sight of the Lord? It had been long enough, been a few days, and all of a sudden they thought, well, maybe He's gone and we'll never see Him again. We don't know what conversation, but we do know that Peter was the one that started this activity to go. We realize that they're to be fishers of men. There to henceforth thou shalt catch men, the scripture says, as we look back at Luke. Was it a good choice or a bad choice? Most folks believe that it was bad. I used to agree, but the more I've studied the precious word, my mind's beginning to change. Now, you say, Larry, I thought you believe the word of God literally. Yes, I do, very much so. But you see, with something like this, it's just a judgment to whether the people were supposed to go fishing or not. No one really knows, but I do go with the thought that they were not rebuked by the Lord Jesus. Their call to preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, that work was underway, but the work was not completed. And so were they still being trained? You'll find that there is always on almost everyone's life. Paul was called away right after he was saved and was taught a quiet time. The Holy Spirit taught him. We know that Moses, after he was called to do the work he had set before him, that he was gone for 40 years. You know, as we look to the Scripture, we find many of the men of God in the Scripture, there was a time period of a quiet time that they listened unto the Lord and He taught them. We need to do the same. We need to listen unto the Lord, spend time with Him, spend time with His Word, and let Him prepare our hearts. These men here chose to go to work. And you need to support yourself. You know, Proverbs 19:15 says, an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Idle time. There's work to do, yet we just set. You know, we can waste more time, something that can never get reclaimed. You know, have you ever thought about the amount of time that you waste? How many hours do you spend in front of the television? How much time do you spend in front of the computer in playing the games? Maybe you're corresponding with somebody back and forth on the computer. Think about that. I want you to think about the time that you spend. Is it time that is constructive, or is it a wasted time? Because you see, a lot of things steal our time, and we're not even smart enough to realize that we can never get that time back. And so please look at your time, budget your time, realize that every minute and every second is important unto the Lord and to you. And we need to be in service unto Him. Oh, to take a few minutes and relax, to correspond with somebody, to play a game on the computer. There's nothing wrong with those things unless they just consume so much time. You know, a lot of our leisure things that we do, whether it be golf or fishing or hunting, whatever a person does, there it's good physically to get away for a period of time to rest. But watch out, because all of a sudden that time becomes hours and hours of time, and when it does, you'll find out that you have played. Now, these men here, they are beginning to go fishing. Now, you think that to go fishing, well, that's not work. Yes, it is. In the way that they would do it, it was hard work. And so you find here that as the men went fishing, it wasn't a pleasure trip, it was work. Again, as I read Proverbs 19:15, "Thy soul shall suffer hunger." We need to look at our time. Today, we don't seem like we can get anything accomplished. We're always behind. And yet, if we'd really take a look at our time, we would recognize that we waste an awful lot of something we can never get back. No matter amount of money, nothing can get a minute or a second back to us. So please, you know, how many years have we been saved and still really doing nothing? How many years? Are you in service to the Lord in the church? Are you in service to the Lord in sharing the gospel? And there's so many ways around the fellowship of the church and the outreaches of the church to be in service to the Lord. Our families are very important. You need to keep your family in prayer. And you need to take your family with you. When the children are very small, there's not a lot of time that you have. Be faithful to the church when your children are small. But when those children begin to grow, show them how service is important. But don't separate them. You stay with them. I have never agreed with children's church, and the reason I do not is because I want the children to see the parents in the service, that they will see the Holy Spirit convict their heart. They will see as the children watch the parents, and the parents should be their role model, not some rock star or some ball player somewhere. It should be the parents, mom and dad, as those children look at the parents and watch them grow in the Lord Jesus and desire to serve the Lord. The children can serve right along with them as they grow up. So please, be busy, and then the older that the children get to where they're on their own, then you can become more and more in service to the Lord, and to the point that when you do finally retire from your job that's supporting you, you'll be in full service unto the Lord. Don't retire and move away on us. Let's get to work. There's much work to do. Be busy proclaiming the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. Be busy about the service and the work that's around the local church. Everything should be around the local church. Again, how many years have you been saved and still doing really nothing? Account for your time. Scripture says here, they caught nothing. They went fishing. This was very hard work. It was not play. But they caught nothing, the Scripture says. Oh, again, probably think they shouldn't have been there. They have worked, but still no meat, no fish. Hard work. When the call went out, but when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, have ye any meat?" And they answered him, "No." They have no meat. This hard work, honest work, and yet comes up empty. We find after the Lord Jesus had finished his work, we find him standing on the shore, on the quiet shore. But the fishermen, they're still out working. They're out at sea, fishing, working very hard. Because you see, their work is not finished. And that's the same way with us. The work of salvation, of redemption, is finished. Because the Lord Jesus Christ finished that upon the cross of Calvary. Finished it with his resurrection. Presenting his precious blood to the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle in heaven. Wonderful upon the mercy seat. Wonderful the work that Jesus has done for us. His work is done as far as the work of redemption is concerned. But our work is just begun. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's time to get to work. Well, these men got to work. They were working. But it seems as though that they caught nothing. When Jesus asked, he said that, they answered, "No, we have nothing." You know, didn't Jesus understand that? Didn't he know that they had caught nothing? Yes, he did. But you see, he wants to hear us say that. Jesus is always near. Sometimes we just don't realize it. Jesus was near these men, probably watched them all night. They didn't know it. They didn't recognize it. And yet we find here, as we go to the 3rd, 4th, and 5th verse again, Simon Peter said unto them, "I go fishing," and they say unto him, "We also go with thee." They went forth, entered into the ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered, No. They answered, No. Jesus calls them here children. You may have a little note that says sirs, but I believe that they are children of God. And to call them children, they are young in the faith, they are just growing, they've just been saved, they've just witnessed the beautiful death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And that's the same way when you and I come to the Lord Jesus, it's the same way. We have just recognized and received and acknowledged the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And then our life begins. Well, it's the same place here. Jesus calls them children, have you any meat? He had a question for him. You know, Jesus is always, he wants to fill our needs. Jesus already knows the answer. Why'd he ask? He wants to hear the need. It's the same way with us when with our prayer requests. You know, if we go day by day and never speak to the Lord Jesus, never fellowship with him, never open his word, and yet we expect to have his power, his strength, and his leadership, it won't come. He desires the call. He wants to hear. Does he know that you're lost and you're dying in your sin if you've never come by faith to the Lord Jesus? Yes, he does. He knows that. He must hear your cry. He wants you to call upon him. The Holy Spirit calls you, and you need to acknowledge that call. You need to receive that call. If you ignore it, then you will find yourself spending eternity in the lake of fire, instead of in the presence of God and the joy that he has for us. Yes, he needs to hear our cry. He needs you to come with a repentant heart. He knows your need. Do you? Do you know that you're lost and you need a Savior? That you need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Jesus knows every need, whether it's a physical need, a spiritual need, a healing, a need of healing, whatever it may be. He knows that need. Please call upon him that he can talk to you and help you and lead you. We lack the wisdom of God. We lack the knowledge of God because we don't ask. We need to admit our need. They did. They answered, no, we have caught nothing. And for a commercial fisherman, as these men are, it's really something for them to admit failure, because that's what it was. It was failure. You know, Jesus surely knows our need. I just said that. He knows every need we have. Then why do I need to ask? Doesn't he already know? Yes, he does. But be careful not to answer in such a manner. Don't be so prideful. Yes, the Lord Jesus knows. Please call on him. That's what he wants us to do. Please come. He is God. He is God. We need to reverence him. We need to fear him. We need to lift him up. Don't speak to him in a disrespectful manner. When will we, as believers, learn what John 15:5 says? For without me ye can do nothing. These men were saved. These men were awaiting the Lord. They chose to go fishing. I don't think there was anything wrong with their going fishing. I think the Lord had something to show them, something to teach them. And so they went fishing, but what they found was nothing. And the joy of that is that then they can see what happens when we follow after the Lord Jesus. For without me, without the Lord Jesus, ye can do nothing. Failure without Jesus. Success with Jesus. Always to be the way. Now, financial gain, not always, because God knows what's the best for us. And so many times he will not allow us to have something that we have asked for, because it is not good for us. He knows what's best for us. Here we have this wonderful example of these men working all night. It's not that they sat back and waited for God to show some miracle to them. They witnessed a miracle because they worked, and they worked all night long. They did something that they normally can do and be very successful at, but they weren't able to do that. They weren't able to find and be successful at fishing, as they many times find themselves. Please, as we look to the Word of God here, we find they worked all night, caught nothing. let's see what beautiful picture here, because we're going to have success. You will never lose when following the Lord's will. Never forget that, even though it doesn't seem to be something normal for you. You know, the success, our Savior raised in power. We need His strength. We need His power. There is success always when we follow after the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the fourth verse here tells us that they knew not that it was Jesus, the end of verse 4. But when the morning was come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. The end of verse 3 tells us they caught nothing. The end of verse 4 says they knew not that it was Jesus. Now, the question comes from the Lord Jesus in verse 5, the question of, what have you caught? And they said, nothing. No, we have caught nothing. And now, as we enjoy verse 6, and he said, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Success. For without me ye can do nothing. What a lesson. As these workers of reaching souls, fishers of men, they are going to become. What a lesson they have learned here. We can work and work and work on our own for naught. But when we do it according to the Lord's will and the Lord's power, we find power and success and victory. And we'll find the same in our lives. We enjoy seeing here what happens when they cast the net on the other side. You know, put the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They found nothing the way they were doing it. But when you call upon the Lord, when you do it His way, they were obedient. Now, we look here in verse 7 and 8. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. John turns to Peter, and he said, it's the Lord. He recognized the voice. He recognized the power. He recognized him physically. It doesn't say. But John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, saw that it was the Lord Jesus, and immediately he told Peter. You know, when you see Jesus, don't keep it to yourself. When you realize and recognize Him as your Savior and your Lord, please tell others. We're to tell all around as we have this opportunity. Peter puts on his coat. You know, we always should wear our best, and he heads off for the Lord. Doesn't take him long, does it? We find him at another time walking on the water. This time he just throws himself into the water to get to the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fish's coat upon him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. You know, you have to love Peter. Oh, that we would have such excitement and such joy, that we would desire to know and to see the Lord Jesus. Been a few days again since they had seen the Lord Jesus. They were fishing, they were working. The Lord, through that failure that they had, brought victory. That's exactly what will happen to us if we look to the Lord Jesus for our power, come to Him for salvation first of all, and then walk each day after Him. It's wonderful to be in service unto the Lord. It's wonderful to have salvation in my heart because He has died on the cross of Calvary for me, and all I needed to do was come by faith to Him. Wonderful to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. The other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. Isn't it wonderful to look to the Word of God? We'll begin there next time we come together. It's always wonderful to hear the gospel presented, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Please trust in the Lord Jesus today. Call upon Him as your Savior. Don't tarry. Don't wait any longer. See, please, Lord Jesus, You have convicted my heart. You've shown me I'm a sinner. Now please save me. Come into my heart and save me. Please say those words today. And then begin this wonderful walk and growth, and you'll see the miracles performed in your life too. My dear friend, as each time we come to a close, I always ask the same question. What are you going to do about Jesus?